Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Mary Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy. And we are totally married.
Woo!
We got our Bloody Marys, and tonight,
yep,
we are ranking our top five best and worst horror movies of 2021.
2021. What a year in horror.
A very good one.
No, I was going to say, this is probably the most unimpressive year for me in horror since we've been doing this podcast. So this is our third roundup of best films of the year.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't think anything really completely shined for me. But to be fair, we didn't see all of the horror films.
We did not.
In the world. Like, I think we did a good job at hitting the flagship films. And then some lower budget ones, and then some lower budget ones.
Right.
We hit all the big ones for the most part.
Yeah.
We didn't sneak in, what was it, Nightmare Alley that came out towards the end of the year.
Right. And Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, we didn't see that one either. So there's some we missed, but we did see a lot. And it also, a lot of the ones that did come out this year were pre-COVID films. So it just felt kind of weird. Like Quiet Place 2 was made before COVID. Halloween Kills was made before COVID, I believe, and a few others. So it was just kind of awkward, it felt, for me, watching them. Mm-hmm. It was like, in two ways, like, one, we should have got these movies a year ago.
Right.
So it just felt like we rented something that was older. And then two, I mean, they came from a world that was different. So it just felt odd.
It did. It was like, oh, pre-COVID world, sad. That's not the world we live in right now.
Right?
Which is our own little horror movie.
Exactly. But there were some super entertaining flicks. I think there were a lot more shitty films this year that we saw than good ones.
I think so, too.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So anyways, we usually spoil the films we talk about, but we'll try to keep things spoiler-free at first when we talk about our picks. And if you don't want things spoiled, but you still want to check out what our picks are, we'll post timestamps somewhere so you can kind of skip around to each one.
Yeah.
So you can check out our top list. But anyways, here we go. These are our best and worst films of 2021.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cool. We'll start with the best ones.
All right.
Number five is Candyman.
Yeah, I really liked Candyman. And I have to say, the original, I didn't like it. It was boring to me.
You know, I hadn't seen it in years and years, and we watched it before we saw this one, and it was definitely worse than I remember. But also, it was never really one of my favorites, but yeah, it just wasn't that good.
It was just boring to me. It was boring.
So this new one was way better, I thought.
Oh, it was so much better. Yeah. I did like it how it kind of tied in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that actor. He did so good.
Yeah, he's in the new Matrix too, and he was good in that. But anyway, yeah, the new Candyman, it's about an artist in a gentrified area of Chicago that comes across an urban legend, Candyman, lore and bizarre things, and murders start happening.
Right.
And
he kind of uses that for inspiration, right?
Yeah, yeah. And what they did keep, what was cool is I liked, from the original, they had these really awesome, like, establishing huge wide-angle cityscape shots. And they did that in this one, too. And they made them weird also.
They did. Yeah.
That was really cool. And they had some fun artistic kills.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Because there was like one you saw like a kill happen in a reflection of a mirror on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would see the kill happen, and he was supernatural. So nothing, there was no person there. Like they were lifting someone up, but it was just like they were being lifted up.
Yeah. That was really cool. From looking on the outside, there's no one there, but someone's getting lifted up in the air and murdered.
Yeah. And what you were starting to say, I think the one main thing that I like about this that actually put it on the list for me is it really wasn't a remake. This was a sequel to the original Candyman, and it could also be considered Candyman 4 because the main actor was the baby from the first Candyman.
Right? That reveal, like, oh, by the way, you were the baby. What?
Yeah. And so it just continues the lore. And also Tony Todd, the original Candyman, he does show up and make an appearance. So it was really, that tied it in. That made me like it even more that they weren't just doing a reboot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it was, you could, like you said, it could be a sequel, but it also could just be four because
yeah,
it's, you know, 20 some years later or 30 some years later and yeah, and he's the baby.
Yeah. And it was bizarre and creepy. So it was good.
Yeah. It was really well done. I was entertained. I wasn't bored at all. Like the entire time. The first one, it was just like drug, especially the beginning. It was like dragging on. I'm like, give me a kill. Give me something. Kill someone.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, I'm so bored. But this one, I wasn't bored at all, and I liked that it tied it to the first, and I really liked him. And the special effects and the kills, it was all really well done.
That was cool. Yeah, the original didn't have much that stood out. Like, there was a scene where Candyman shoots out the window in the insane asylum that was pretty neat. But it was just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways.
That was our number five.
That's number five. Number four is Spiral.
Dun, da, da, da.
Yeah, Spiral, a detective and his new partner are thrust into the grisly world of Saw as new kills start happening. Why did you like Spiral?
I think I liked it for the fact that we had watched god-awful amount of Saws before that.
We did a Saw-thon. For our Saw ranking and review that you can check out.
And it was torture and not in a good way.
The Saw-a-thon, not
the
Spiral.
The Saw-a-thon. Yes. And then we saw Spiral, and it was kind of like a breath of fresh air after all of the shit that we watched.
Yeah.
It was funny. They had some great kills.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot more entertaining than the 10 or however many fucking Saws we saw.
23 Saws out of the
20
same
million
plot.
Saws.
Yeah.
So it was a breath of fresh air. And then also the first movie we saw in the theater with COVID.
Yeah, happening. I think, you know, a couple of those things put it on the list for us. It's our experience with the movie, because it was the first movie we saw in the theater since COVID, so we were really excited to see it.
We were.
And also, we had just saw all these Saw movies, and it was nice to see a decent one in the theater. So I think it's, you know, we did our review of this movie, but as a Saw film, it's really good.
I think
it's our second favorite one, I remember. But if it's a... as a normal movie, it's average. It's fine.
Right.
But it was mostly our experience with it. And Chris Rock and Sam Jackson were pretty silly in it. We talked about this before, but there's that scene where...
where they go back in time and they look older.
Yeah. They flash back to make him look younger in the past, but they actually look older.
Super old.
And Sam Jackson has this like...
dime store mustache.
Yeah. Which really was like the makeup department digging around their kit. Fuck, I forgot the mustache. What do we have?
Yeah. And they're like, this will work. And you get like... Yeah. Oh God!
And Chris Rock, I think he grew
a beard.
Grew beard to look younger, but his beard, there's gray specks in it. Right. It's just odd, and they had to know what they were doing there. But yeah, the humor was really cool. I liked that there were day shots in it. Like a lot of things took place during the day.
Right,
was cool.
I liked also that it wasn't directly related to the dude, because it was like all the other Saws. Was like, fuck off. I don't care why he
cares.
Like, the
about
best
Jigsaw
part of the
anymore.
First one was that you didn't fucking know.
Yeah.
And that was it. He was just a crazy dude torturing people.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't need any more information. So I really liked that this one was more like he was just inspired by it. And then his dad got killed by.
Yeah.
It was like revenge. And he used Jigsaw to, like, you know.
Yeah, it was like your average thriller, but it was good for a Saw film.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, it just like, oh, this actually happened in fuck off. Like, that didn't happen, and that made me happy.
Yeah. I like that. I like that the actual Jigsaw, I forget his name, wasn't really involved. Yeah.
John, I think.
Kramer, yep.
John Kramer.
Well, what's number three?
All right, number three is... Werewolves Within.
Yeah, Werewolves Within. It's about a new forest ranger in a small town. There's a storm that locks the town down, and then some murders happen, and there's that are potentially committed by a werewolf. And it's a fun little one location ish horror film, horror comedy, film.
It was
horror,
so
comedy.
Funny.
Yeah,
and it was a werewolf movie. I mean, like lately, you haven't seen like. A ton of werewolf movies.
Well, last year, our werewolf movie made number one. I forget what
it was. But it wasn't a real werewolf. It was a dude.
Yeah, but it was still werewolf.
But this one was an actual werewolf.
Yeah, right?
But the cast was really funny. The the lead guy, the forest ranger. Oh, he was so funny.
Yeah.
So, so funny.
If we were to do a best actor of the year for horror, I it would think it would be him.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. It was directed by Josh Rubin, who directed another quirky, fun horror film. I think it was last year or the year before, but it was called Scare Me. And we saw that.
Oh, that one was really fun.
The two people in the cabin. And I remember this director, he acted originally. Years ago, I watched him do skits on College Humor.
Mm.
Yeah. So he's developing his humor. And I think he's almost to the point where he can have mass appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hasn't reached the point for me where I totally like his humor. I like a lot of it, but some of it's a little eh. But this movie, overall, was a lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And it totally hit that horror comedy pocket real well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun to see a werewolf.
Yeah.
And then the girl...
Yeah,
was,
well, you're also, throughout it, you're like...
It was a whodunit.
Yeah, is it a person, is it a werewolf, and then it is a werewolf, and the final battle is just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And I'm curious where this director goes after this. I think he's getting better and better at making his movies.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he does next.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And we laughed, and there was some fun kills, and... Mm. It was in the snow in the winter.
Yeah, that's a cool premise. I like that. Yeah. And I always, you know, I'm a sucker for the one location type of movies. And, you know, for the most part, this one was that.
Yeah.
And they were isolated, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our number two.
Number two. Bum, our bum, number bum. Two. So our number two and number one, we were kind of going back and forth with. But they're both really great. So number two is... James Wan's Malignant.
Yes.
That movie was so much fun. It's about a woman who keeps having visions and a psychic connection to killings that start happening. And that's the plot of it. Why did you like this one?
Well, I liked it because I just enjoyed... I had fun the entire time.
Yeah.
We
saw it in the theater.
Saw it in the theater. I liked the premise of... Yeah. You know, who the killer was and what was happening. And there was some really cool... The jail cell scene was like...
That was just...
So fucking rad.
Bonkers.
It was so rad. It was like horror meets The Matrix.
Yeah, right?
Kind of like... Yeah.
I thought it was great directing, great acting. And I mean, okay, we're going to spoil the twist now, yeah. But it was just a conjoined twin on the back of her head.
Right. When's the last time you saw a conjoined twin horror movie?
Like, it was a cool subgenre that they don't do much of. I think it was The Dark Half, and I can't really remember, you know, something else. There was one character in one season of American Horror Story that had that thing.
Right.
But, yeah, there was a malignant tumor in her head, and it just, like, was laid dormant, and it grew and grew and grew. And
then they basically, like, shoved it back in her brain, and then she got, like... Her boyfriend or husband or whatever, like, beat her, hit her head against the wall, busted her skull open, and then boom, evil twin out to kill people. I love how it's like her body contorted backwards and she was doing things backwards. That was really sweet. Like, the chase scene with the cop all backwards. Like,
yeah, that was creepy and fun.
It was creepy and fun.
And funny. It was creepy and funny at the same time.
Right. Yeah. And then when they, like, put her in jail, like I said, the jail cell scene, and then, like, they're, like, making fun of her, and they're, like, trying to beat her, and then all of a sudden, like, her head opens up, and then everyone's like, holy shit. Like,
that was really cool.
That was so cool.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of figured it out towards the beginning, but if you don't, I imagine, and you're surprised by that, I imagine the movie's even better for you.
Right.
But also, I've saw, like, this movie was kind of, some people didn't like it as much, and I don't see why. I just thought it was a lot of fun.
It was.
I like that, like, during the day, she's normal. During the night, it's a backwards man.
And then, like, once someone was missing, then, like, cops are like, this lady's missing, then all of a sudden, she falls through, like, the ceiling, and everyone's like, you had that lady in your house the whole time, and she's like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, right. And I think a lot of why some people didn't like this is because they were expecting a usual James Wan kind of horror, ghostly premise to this one. And to be fair, it was kind of advertised that way.
Oh, yeah. The trailers made it seem totally supernatural. Not that this isn't kind of supernatural, but like like haunting. Yeah. There's a ghost, there's demons or something like that. Nope, just a conjoined crazy twin in the back of her head.
Which, this is one of the cases where I like that. Like,
me too.
You know, it tricked the people who like James Wan into the theater, I think.
I liked the shots that they did when they were like above following people through the house.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked those shots.
Yeah, it was shot really well, directed really well, acted well. I think if we did a best actress, she would probably be a high contender for actress in horror.
Oh, yeah. And I liked the part of it hinged on the relationship with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then her sister basically was like figuring out what happened to her.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, what's our number one? Our number one.
Drum roll.
Sweet. What was that?
Sweet ass drum roll.
Drum roll.
That was my drum roll. Just roll with it.
Okay. Our number one film of the year is actually three films. It's the Fear Street trilogy.
Yes.
Yeah. And those are just super fun. It's about a group of teens in the 90s that encounter a witch lore and an array of killers, and they have to, through time, defeat everything.
Right.
Yeah. These movies were just great fun. You get the flavors of the 90s and 80s.
And 70s. A little bit of the 70s.
And 70s. There's a lot of killers. It's fun Scream type stuff. The second movie, 1978, is very Friday the 13th.
Oh, and it's like Sadie Sink is in it. Yeah. And that one is probably, out of the three, is one of my favorites.
It's our favorite. We did a review of those. And the rest of it's like Scream. There's the last one, 666, whatever, goes back in time for a little bit, but not throughout the whole movie.
Right. Kind of get to the crux of what's happening.
Yeah, it's just cool kills, fun acting. A lot of everything I like about, you know, 90s horror was really in it for the most part. Even though we were annoyed a little bit in the first one because they like crammed in like...
They crammed the 90s down your throat like, we get it. Yeah. It's the 90s. Like every 2 seconds there was a new 90s popular song. Oh, look, Nirvana. Oh, look, there's this. Oh, look, there's this one. Like, okay, we get it. It's the 90s. Just keep going. I want to see... Like, it was a little bit distracting.
It was very distracting, actually. Like the first half of that first movie was like 20 90s songs. Like, come the fuck on. Yeah.
Like, just get to...
Yeah.
What's happening?
But the cast, liked a lot of the kills.
I love the kill, like the one where the meat slicer one.
That was good.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I think my favorite shot in that whole thing was in 1978, where the sisters were laying on the ground, like getting murdered and dying
together.
That was
so good.
That was awesome.
That was.
Yeah,
and then I liked how all the killers came back.
Mm-hmm.
Because every like so often the killers would come, like the town had to. They had to like kill people to like the other town could live or thrive or something, right?
Yeah.
So I liked how you got to see all the different eras of the killers popping up.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. The director is really good. Lee Janik. I think that this was like her first big project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see what she does after this.
Yeah, what she does next.
I want to see more of these movies. Yeah, I thought they were really fun. You can watch them on Netflix.
Yeah.
Get a Netflix account and watch them.
Borrow someone's password.
Jillian Jacobs was great in it.
She was.
The whole cast was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the kid, the chemistry, it was all really, it was rad, it was fun. It was really cool kills.
One thing, when we were watching the whole thing, I was like, man, this score sounds really like Scream. Are they just ripping off Scream's score? And I was like getting upset about it. But then afterwards I looked and it was Marco Beltrami who scored Scream. So it's like, okay, well, never mind. He's the guy composing
right.
it. He
All
can
right.
do that.
He can rip it off. It's fine.
It's ripping off himself. So I thought that was really fun that they got him as a composer for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Well, that's our number one. Of the year. So watch that. Watch all three of them.
Should we dive into our worst?
Yes, because we got some shit to talk about. So, our worst films of the year. Number five, The Deep House. So, The Deep House is about a couple who does YouTube videos or whatever. They go discover cool places and they post it on social media. And for this one, they discover a haunted house at the bottom of a lake. The premise is good.
Right. The premise, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. When's the last time you've seen a haunted house underwater?
One would say the premise is amazing. Right?
Yeah. One would say that. Yeah. Maybe. But...
I mean, there's like they're exploring a haunted house underwater in scuba gear, and that adds a level of claustrophobia. It's genuinely creepy. There's a simple plot, and what the movie does is it shows you more than tells you things, which is really great. And it sounds like I'm talking about a lot of good things about this, but what brings it down, what sinks it, pun intended, for me, are the main characters. They're so dumb and they're so unlikable.
They are. Like, oh, I was just talking to this guy for 5 minutes. He's going to take us here and we're going to trust him. And
yeah.
And then the boyfriend's a dick.
Yeah, the boyfriend's just a dick. The girlfriend follows him around, and they, in the beginning, I don't know if they did it intentionally, but they're establishing that they're not getting along and that this may be like the last time they're together.
Right.
So there's like no love connection. So you're not connected to these characters. So you don't care if they live or die. The guy's a dick and she's dumb.
Right.
So when they're in danger, you're like, I don't care. Kill him. I'm sick of hearing him talk.
Right. There's like one where he's like ignoring what she's like, stop doing that. And he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And it was just very like, it's one thing if one of the characters is a dick and you're like, yes, kill him. Can't wait. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Take him out. But they both were just like, just take him out. You're the one that followed some stranger in the middle of the woods who told you to go underwater and find this house that you talked to for 5 minutes, who was creepy.
Like talked to this guy by a food truck for like a minute, and then they just followed him underwater.
And she's like, okay, silly. Sure, yeah. I'll go with you. Like, what?
And I think the script is good, and I like what they did with it, but your characters, you're not attached to them, so you don't give a shit.
No.
You can have a dick character if there's more characters.
Right.
If there were like five that went under there and you had one dick, okay, cool.
Right.
But there's no one that you care about. So I think that was a missed opportunity.
It was a missed opportunity. Maybe poor casting.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was poor casting. It was the script.
Mm-hmm. I think
for me,
I think it's a little bit of both, because if you could had a... made her a little more, I just didn't connect to her, because she could have still been dumb, but you could have played it off like, I don't know. Yeah. It sounded cool, because I was like, we need to watch the Deep House. I really am interested to see this haunted house underwater. Like, I want to know how this goes.
Yeah.
And it was disappointing.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that one sucked. Let's move on to the fourth sucky one. Number four is The Unholy, which is about a washed-up drunk journalist who investigates a girl in a small town who was supposedly visited and blessed by Mother Mary and performs miracles. And
it was mediocre. That's what I put in my notes. Mediocre.
Exactly.
It was.
And I think it was wasted talent, because you have Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the lead, and you have William Sandler also in there. He plays, I think, the priest.
Yes.
And then Carrie Always, who can be good.
Who can be good.
He was great in the season of Stranger Things he was in. But it's really so boring, and it's paint by numbers, and there's no twists and there's no turns. Everything you think is going to happen happens.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan played Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, he did.
And it was just like one note. It was just, it was eh.
Yeah. I kind of felt bad for Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I think they should have just like cast Nicolas Cage in this instead, because Nicolas Cage likes to do like meh ones.
Right.
And he likes to do really good ones. Same with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But yeah, I mean, nothing really super bad stands out with this. It's just boring all around.
It was just, we were just like
there was nothing interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a whole. Okay.
That's why Deep House, makes it a little like lower or higher on the list, because at least the premise was interesting.
Right.
There's no interesting premise here.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really have much else to say about that.
I don't
aside
either.
From don't watch it. It's boring as fuck.
Eh.
Yeah. Number three.
All right. Number three is Black Friday.
Black Friday. Yes. It's Black Friday, and a group of store clerks must survive the night against zombified alien shoppers. starring Devon Sawa and Bruce Campbell, which sounds like an amazing fun
right we were both film. Like, oh my god, I love Devon, like, oh my god, I love Devon Sawa. Yes. This is exciting. You love Bruce Campbell.
Yeah,
like, oh my god, what are they gonna do?
It's
a cool premise,
and it really pains me to put this on the list because I love Bruce Campbell and Devon Sawa is great, and I love this premise, but it's not funny. The characters don't gel or mesh together.
No.
You think Devon Sawa and Bruce Campbell, but when they get together, it's like awkward.
But the Bruce Campbell, I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
It was so like he wore a cardigan and was like, nah. Like he wasn't,
he was a side character to like put on, to say he's in it, to sell it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It was like a phone in. And Devon Sawa was like phoned in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just...
it's anticlimactic. The kills overall suck, too. I remember either they weren't memorable or I just remember a lot of cutaway and off-screen kills. Right?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It just...
It was such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And we were so excited. We're like, oh, this is going to be fun. It's going to be funny.
Because I think we watched it like on Black Friday or around it, too.
Yeah. And we were like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
And then like halfway through, we just looked at each other. We're like, does this suck?
It does.
Does this suck?
It sucks.
It does. But I'm not mad at this movie. I'm just disappointed.
Right. Exactly. Because we were both like had high hopes.
Yeah.
And then we're like, hopes are dashed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend seeing this. I mean, but it's also one of those where if you're a fan of Bruce Campbell and Devon Sawa and this type of stuff, it's like you almost have to see it to believe it. That it's just not that good.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just, and really, like, you're a bigger Bruce Campbell fan than I am, but...
huge.
It was such a missed like, was like, what? Why are you in this role?
Well, he was, honestly, right? Bruce Campbell's probably sick and tired of being covered in blood and thrown around. And he's like, I'll be in it if you just put me in a sweater and I can stand around and just, that's it.
But it still wasn't, he could still bring his Bruce Campbell-ness.
Yeah,
and it didn't hit any of those things. So it was just super disappointing.
So, yep, number three worst film of the year, Black Friday. All right, well, let's get into number two and number one. And these also... we have flipped around. Or I had flipped around. You knew.
No, I already knew.
Yeah.
100 million% which one I hated the most. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure if you've been listening to our podcast, you can guess which one I don't like.
Right? number two is the Wrong Turn remake. It's about a group of idiotic youngins that are dicking around in the woods, and they come across a community that's been living outside of society for hundreds of years, and bad things happen. So it's just, there's no hillbillies. Wrong Turn, and we've also done a review about this, there's hillbillies.
There's some deformed-ass motherfucking deformed hillbillies.
Mutant hillbillies that go after teens and kill them in horrific ways.
Right.
That's what Wrong Turn is, and that's not in this at all.
No, my notes say, fuck off. Not a Wrong Turn movie.
Yeah, that's the one thing that doesn't put this at number one for me, is that if you took away the title Wrong Turn and made it something else, right? Called it
The Colony,
Weird in the Woods, whatever. Then it's an average horror film.
Right.
But the fact that they named it Wrong Turn, now it just sucks.
It was a wrong turn.
Yeah, and Matthew Modine is in it and he's out of place.
Oh, he's so out of place.
Like, because they're in like the deep Appalachian woods, right? And now I think about it, even like the characters, none of them are dressed for any of this.
No.
And Matthew Modine's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to find him and I'm going to save him. And he's in like
Banana Republic bullshit and loafers. In, like what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing?
The best thing about that whole movie was the ending shot was really cool.
The ending was cool.
Yeah, it's just boring. It didn't have anything to do with any Wrong Turn aside from people going in the woods. And
right. And if you know us... that is a huge pet peeve of ours. That don't be calling a movie Leatherface or Wrong Turn or any of that bullshit
when it's not.
None of that is the case.
Yep. So that was super frustrating.
Super frustrating.
So don't watch. If you love the Wrong Turn movies, don't watch this one. All
and
right.
If you want to check it out, think of it as The Colony and not a Wrong Turn movie.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's just get into it. Rip that Band-Aid off. So the controversial number one pick for the worst horror film of the year of 2021 is
Halloween Kills.
Halloween fucking Kills.
Fuck off.
You know what the plot of this is? It's a movie with a huge group of townsfolk failed to kill Michael Myers. A lot of them.
Oh, all of them.
Jamie Lee Curtis isn't in this, even though she's billed as being in this.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in the hospital, and she makes lovey eyes with the sheriff dude. And that's pretty much it.
Yep, yep.
And her fucking daughter, Karen, I really hope is dead. So hard hope is dead.
She sucks. She missed a missed opportunity to kill him.
I love Judy Greer.
Yeah.
But I fucking hate Karen. And she, oh my God, like.
Maybe that's why she's called Karen.
I'm just going to gently curb stomp him. And I'm going to just shove a knife, just the tip of the knife in his shoulder and pretend I killed the chef. Fuck off. Yeah. I hope you're dead. I hope he rips your throat out.
No characters in this know how to use guns or how to shoot somebody at all. Nobody in this character knows how to use their melee weapons hurt somebody.
Have they not seen Scream? You shoot them in the head.
Exactly.
You shoot them in the head.
There's like the scene towards the end where everyone's like beaten up Michael Myers, but they're all like, I'm gonna get his shoulder. I'm gonna get his other shoulder.
I'm gonna shoot him. Kinda.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
graze his leg. Cool.
You know, Tommy Doyle's over here with his fucking bat. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna grab Huckleberry and I'm gonna end this tonight. He dies tonight. No, he di- you die tonight. Yeah. Everybody else in the goddamn town dies tonight, but he doesn't die.
And they repeated, evil dies tonight, evil dies tonight, evil dies in the afternoon, evil dies in the morning, evil dies in the evening. Shut up.
Evil dies at twilight. No, fuck off.
Yeah.
He didn't die, and he's a 60-year-old man, and you still couldn't fucking kill him.
I know. Well,
Take him out of the knees. Take his kneecaps out.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the knees.
Right?
Shoot him in the head. Fucking do it right.
Yeah. Well, that's... I mean, what they're trying to do is make him the lore. Make him boogeyman. That's the thing. It's like... Is he supernatural or isn't he?
Is he not?
Right? He didn't have life-threatening wounds, so he still could be a guy. But all this stuff happened to him, so he could be supernatural. And I don't care about that.
Like, I don't either. Like, and I hate that they're like, how many people can Michael kill? And they're like, hold my beer. Fuck off. Because honestly, I didn't really remember any of them because I was so pissed off about the entire movie. And the only one I vaguely remember is the light bulb one because that was kind of cool. But other than that, like I didn't care. I didn't care about all the little nods that they put in through all the other... You know, of Halloween 3, they had the masks and they had this and they had that. I don't fucking care. I don't care that the entire town chases a man that's 5'3" and looks like the fucking Kool-Aid man and they think it's fucking Michael Myers. And then Tommy Doyle's like, how do you know he wears a mask? Oh my God. They go on about, I'm never going to forget his face. I'm never going to forget it. Oh, clearly you did, because, bitch, he's 5'3" and is round like the Kool-Aid man.
I know. And this is coming from a huge Halloween fan, ladies and gentlemen.
I am a huge Halloween fan, and I'm so pissed about this movie.
She loves these movies. Michael Myers is her favorite horror icon. So this coming from her, it's not good. That thing really bothered me, because the character has also watched... a TV thing where he escaped, so they see him.
Right, they see him. Then they look at the guy that they just made jump out a fucking window because they were for sure knew that it was him because he had a white clothes on because he escaped.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just Tommy Doyle, like, how do you know? Wears a mask. But then a half hour later, you just talked about how you'll never forget the shape of the boogeyman. You'll never forget that night. You'll never forget this. And yet, here you are, fucking forgetting, and then riling up an entire town.
Yeah.
As the sheriff does nothing, by the way. He just stands there like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, the sheriff does nothing. Jamie Lee Curtis
does nothing.
It just, everyone is dumb in this movie.
Karen, missed opportunities. Someone's trying to kill your kid and that you gently curb stomp them with your fucking little dollar store Nikes. Shut the fuck up. I goddamn hate her.
Yeah. You really hate this movie.
I hate this movie
you
so
really
much.
Hate this one. I don't know how they're going to get fans like us back for that third one. Because you know we're going to go watch it.
We're going to see it.
And I just don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. Like the first one of this trilogy was fine. I enjoyed it. This one was just, it wasn't, I didn't like it at all. You know, nothing.
The first one was okay for me. It was, you know, yeah. Me. But this one, rage.
Yep.
Clearly, as you can tell, I have rage for this movie.
You do. Evil dies at brunch. Evil
does not die ever, because we don't know how to use weapons or kill people.
Yeah, and I didn't like they shot flashbacks with new scenes, and I didn't think any of it was necessary because they did it to like
add more characters,
make you feel bad for a cop that didn't kill Michael when he could have. And what's the point of that other than just showing us Loomis?
Right.
Like, if you wanted to show us Loomis, which was actually kind of cool, like they got an actor and they made him look like him with makeup and stuff, like make it be substantial. Like, you know, show it. But it was pointless. Like,
it
I don't care about, you're trying to make us care about this new character.
Or the boy that
doesn't make any sense.
Or to add a couple extra characters too, because there was the boy that,
yeah,
he was huddled on the ground and Michael was above him.
There were too many characters.
There was
in this
too
movie.
Many.
And your main characters were all split up. And just the fact that Jamie Lee wasn't, even if she would have arrived for the last sequence, right? Where they're all fucking him up and then the crowd parts
and then Jamie Lee comes up and
just like brains him 500 times with a knife in his fucking head and
right.
then boom.
Then shoots him.
Yeah.
Because
if they did that and then you know there's going to be a third one, you're like, well, what the fuck
well,
are they going to do now?
Clearly he is the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Right. None of that.
Yeah.
Also, if you live in Michael Myers' old house,
mm-hmm.
as does Little John and Big John.
You probably have more than a paring knife.
A paring knife. And if we hear like for 15 minutes, they're like, do you know whose house we live in?
Yeah.
Do you know whose house this is? Okay, we live in Michael Myers' house. And then you hear a strange noise and you look and you see a giant bloody handprint. You don't lock your doors and grab a tiny paring knife. You get the fuck out because
right?
you're in Michael Myers' house, idiot.
Yes. Also, run. Michael Myers doesn't run. So
he doesn't.
If you just run and keep running, you're good.
That's like one of the best things. Michael's like, I'm not going to, like, why waste the cardio? I got to save my energy for killing you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, I'm not going to, you're going to fuck up eventually. I'll catch you. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Fucking
I mean,
leave,
yeah.
run,
I mean,
move.
That's fun. I mean, I love Jason and he just walks. Michael Myers just walks. But
right.
you just feel like picking apart this movie.
I feel like Jason runs a little bit more than Michael. Michael's just like, nah.
Well, he's old now, too. So
he's never really ran, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our number one.
Yep.
It can fuck off.
Yep. Halloween fucking kills the franchise is what that is. For me, I don't have any hope for the next one.
The next one I went into this one with very low expectations and
yeah.
they exceeded my low expectations. They made me so angry.
I've told you this before, but what would have made me like Halloween Kills a lot better is if they would have, because this was supposed to come out around COVID, right? And it got pushed back a year.
Right.
And that's another thing too. It's not that good, so why make us wait? But if they would have been one of the first people to like, you know what, we're just going to put it out so you can watch it.
Right.
Right? And you can watch it for free. We know everyone's locked down. Here's our movie. Check it out. That would have made me respect them at least. You know what I mean?
Nah. And they wanted to make money.
Yeah, I know. So you guys
off
suck.
Off a shitty
you guys suck.
Fucking movie.
So, all right, let's do special nods, right? Things
yes.
that didn't make our lists. We both have a couple. You have something that I didn't want on the list. I have something that you really didn't want on the list. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So when we were talking about our favorites, we both like wrote down our top five and then we discussed. And my number one was actually Willy's Wonderland. This is like my favorite, one of my favorite Nick Cage performances. He doesn't talk through the entire fucking movie. He's so Nick Cage. He fucking drinks his soda. He plays his little, you know, he plays his, what's the game?
Pinball,
thank you. I'm all making, if you're just listening, I'm making pinball, you know.
Okay, I agree that his performance was fun.
His
right?
performance was fun. Then he just beats and gets all bloody and he just beats these animatronic, crazy, demonic things.
Yeah.
It was great. I fucking loved it. I was entertained the entire time.
Okay, now, you know, if... we could have compromised, and we could have put that at 5, right? But we left that for a special nod to you. And I'm a huge Nick Cage fan, and this premise looked really good to me. And it's not a bad movie. I just don't think it's like the top 5 for me, you know, for sure. There was some fun stuff in it. I did like everything you said, but I don't want to watch it again.
Oh, I do. I'll watch it again.
Okay.
For sure. It was so much fun. Sometimes my number ones are not like the greatest movies. It's just like how I feel about them and how like totally entertained I was.
Well, that's kind of how we roll, right? Like our Fear Streets are number one, and that's like not the greatest, but we're entertained through that whole deal. And that goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your special nods?
I got one, and and I'm sure a lot of people, I really enjoyed M. Night Shyamalan's Old, and people are not liking that at all. And this is really strange because I'm usually pretty good at seeing why people like things or seeing why people don't like things, mm-hmm. but I don't know what it is. I don't know. Something popped in my brain, but I have blinders on with Old. I can't see why people don't like this movie. I can't see it. I think it was shot beautifully. I think it was masterful directing. I thought the acting was really good. I thought the premise was great. Out of this whole year of horror, my biggest like shiver came from this movie. My greatest like, oh my God, reveal moment came from this movie, not like any of these others. Like I didn't see. So this was like, the classic M. Night Shyamalan twist mm-hmm. that you get in The Sixth Sense. And I maybe had it during Split, but this twist I didn't see coming. And I was like, whoa,
I know.
I was like, oh my God, that's what? And I like it. I thought it was really fun. And I liked, what was the other thing? Oh, the most terrifying moment was, in Old, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil some stuff that, they're stuck on this part of an island, this beach, and time goes super fast where you age like, what was it?
Like 7 years in an hour.
You age like 7 years in an hour.
Yeah.
So that's your premise, which I think is a really fun premise, and they did it really well. But someone gives birth to a baby and then they set it down just for a second and then they go back
and
the baby's dead because it died from
no one touching it, no one giving it love.
Yeah. So it just died, and that like sent shivers down my spine, and you don't even see it. That was a beautiful part of a lot of the things in this one too. You didn't see it, and then you never see the baby. You hear it, and then it just stops crying, and then they're like, oh my God, what happened? It's wrapped up in a blanket, and then you see the father go and like empty it out, and by the time he empties
dust.
It out, it's just dust. That was just, I like the premise. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was really cool to watch each character age because we were like 20 minutes into it. And I think I looked over to you and I said, how are they going to keep this up for the rest of the movie? And then they did for me. I just really enjoyed that film. I think it's one of his better films, and I just can't see. So why didn't you like it?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But I was still like, okay, that was cool. Yeah. It just wasn't like, I didn't get, maybe I'm cold hearted, but I'm like, baby died. That's sad. Whatever. I did like them aging.
Yeah.
That was cool
to
watch. Like, especially because they started out as like little kids. That was the coolest part because the adults didn't really like, they aged kind of, but really the part that you could really tell the aging was with, the kids, because like the kids went in like 6 years old and like 9, and then all of a sudden they got boobs and like they're having sex because like the boy and the little girl who was like 5 before, they grew up real quick, and then they're like, hey, and then they have sex, they have a baby, and the baby dies all within like 15 minutes.
Which I think it's a good allegory for life, like, because the one couple, they aged, they loved each other, and then they both kind of died. So you got to see like the natural progression of life, and then the one guy went insane. I don't know. I thought it was really fun. But I have to say, like, the one thing I've always thought about M. Night's movies, pretty much all of them, is I think they'd all be better half hour, like Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah.
Like pretty much all of his movies. Like this would be a solid half hour Twilight Zone episode. Lady in the Water, same thing. The Village, same thing.
Well, and you liked the reveal. And that's one thing I was like,
I did.
Meh.
Because I could see both sides and I was like, oh, Oh, and I don't know. I just
You know what I did love about it is that we disagreed. Because we generally tend to agree.
Yeah.
Which isn't a terrible thing. It's good because we watch a lot of movies together. Yeah. But this one, I was like, man, you're like, I fucking loved it. And I was like, what?
I know.
So it was really good that we didn't agree.
Yeah, I know. I like that because we usually do. go see Old. She'll tell you not to.
This
almost would have made, this probably would have made like number two if I was making our list. If I was just doing it.
If he was by himself, I'd be like, no.
So Old was a divisive one. So want to do like a quick best and worst of television horror? Like, I think, so we didn't watch all of it. We watched like 5 episodes, but I think American Horror Story this season kind of sucked.
Like, we watched 5 and we stopped. I mean, we'll probably maybe sort of eventually pick it up, but it wasn't like, it wasn't like, oh, I want to know what happens. Oh, I want to know
this. It wasn't captivating.
It wasn't.
Like, we got, and I know it's split into 2 separate stories, but I think we got, I think we had 1 or 2 episodes left of that first story. And we're like, we don't even care how it ends.
I don't care how it ends.
Like, they're dragging this on.
Right. Yeah. I like seeing Macaulay Culkin. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we checked out I Know What You Did Last Summer, the series, for about a half hour and then we shut it off.
Yeah.
We should
probably watch it again, but it wasn't good.
It wasn't good because the source material is Hallmark horror. Yeah. And I don't need to see someone else pretending to be Jennifer Love Hewitt dancing around in a circle going, what do you want?
Like, stop. I Know What You Did Last Summer movies aren't as good as you remember. They're not.
No.
They're not. They're not.
They're
they
not.
They are not. So I think some of the best horror in television, one was Slasher for sure, the new season. That was really good. I loved that series. Even like the seasons that aren't that good, they're still fun to watch. But this one is one of my favorites.
That one was so fun.
Yeah, this one, it's a lot of gore. And it starts off kind of weird, too, with the first episode. You're like, is this going to suck?
Right.
But then...
Well, then it was like an overactive soap opera. And I was like, I'm all for it.
Overacted.
It's like, overacted, excuse me. Overactive.
But it was. Yeah, it was. It was like, it was so very, very soap opera-y.
Yeah, I was like, this is soap opera horror. 2 of my favorite things. Yes, I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah. And there's some cool twists that I didn't see coming. And it was just a lot of fun. David Cronenberg, great director. He plays a character in it, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I definitely dug it. So the new season of Slasher is up there. I'm trying to think of what else we've watched with, TV horror. I don't think much else, actually.
No.
Yeah, I started watching the Child's Play series, and it's okay. I'm like halfway through it. A lot of people are really amazed by it, but I think it's just fine.
It's just okay.
You know, not good, not terrible.
I popped in here and there.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess to recap, our top best films of the year are Candyman, Spiral, Werewolves Within, Malignant, and the Fear Street movies.
And our top 5 worst were The Deep House, The Unholy, Black Friday, Wrong Turn, and fucking Halloween Kills.
All right. I also, 2021, I was kind of just unimpressive with horror.
Me too.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited for 2022.
2022, there is a lot going on. We've already seen the new Scream for 2022, yes. And that is fucking rad. We just did a review of that.
Kicks off horror for 2022 quite well.
There's so many potentially good films coming out. There's Black Phone. There's Esther, the sequel to The Orphan. There's the new Evil Dead, Evil Dead Rise. The new Texas Chainsaw, a new Jeepers Creepers, Halloween Ends, Terrifier 2.
Ah, I'm excited for that one.
And a whole bunch of others. So I'm really excited for 2022 in horror. And this year is fucking hopefully going to be the year that I make a feature film horror.
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. It's happening. We're putting it out into the universe.
Balls rolling.
Here we go.
Yep. So it's 2020 year is going to be a fantastic year for horror.
Yes. All the way around.
Want to do some predictions? What do you predict is going to be a bad horror movie in 2022?
Halloween Ends.
Okay, I'm going to say Halloween Ends. Oh, God. I don't know. I'm probably going to have to say Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that one...
It's a new director. Right. So, but I don't know.
I'm interested to see how that one goes. And I'm also interested to see how Texas Chainsaw goes.
Texas Chainsaw can go either way.
It could go real great.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, God damn it, again? Right?
My predictions for our best films, our top three are going to be Scream, Terrifier 2, and Evil Dead Rise. Yeah. I don't know what order, but I bet you anything. We'll go back. We'll check this out. In a year, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that. Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to just already predict that my worst one is Halloween Ends.
We're going to end it,
and you're never going to touch a fucking Halloween movie again.
Yeah. Watch next year. We're going to be like, we're wrong. Halloween Ends, best film of the year.
I know. I'll be like, son of a bitch. It still doesn't make up for the other two. It still doesn't.
Hopefully you dug our lists of the year and
Let us know what you think. Let us know which movies that we didn't see that you loved so that we can check them out.
Definitely, for sure. What were your favorite movies of the year and least favorite ones of the year? Let us know. And our bloody dairies are dead. Our bloody dairies are dead, and so are we. Drink in moderation, enjoy life and death, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.